I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We welcome in our friend, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He covers the Penguins, Mike DeFabo. Mike, good morning to you. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, guys. Ready for some playoff hockey. Let's do it.
You sound enthused. I think you need to get up just a little bit more. First of all, real quick, briefly, Mum, she doing okay?
Yep, she's doing great. I saw her just a couple days ago for Mother's Day. She's pumped. She's ready for the playoffs, too. You talk about me being enthused. Mum definitely gets up this time of year, ready for some playoff hockey.
All right, Michael's grandmother, Mum. All right, the important stuff first before Chris asks the real important stuff. The Penguins' yellow jerseys from Mike DeFabo get the thumbs up or thumbs down for the playoffs, and why?
Straight up, I don't like them. They're indistinguishable in terms of the color of yellow between the Pittsburgh gold, as they call them, and nacho cheese. But you know what I think it was? Is they have a great record in those uniforms. So it's a little superstition, any kind of advantage you can get this time of year. So maybe some of that went into it. Maybe there's a little bit of thinking that they could sell a couple extra jerseys, whatever the reason. But I'm personally not a fan of that shade of yellow.
I'll tell you right now, Mr. DeFabo, that you are dead wrong and that the yellow jerseys are going to, just like the other times in the last 20 years, they've gone with an alternate jersey in the playoffs. They're going to at least the conference finals, or the final four in this year's case anyway. But that's just my two cents. Let me ask you this. We talked about history and perspective on what it would mean for this team if they were to make a fourth cup run this spring. When you look at Crosby and Malkin, when you look at Sullivan, when you look at this group as a whole, this organization as a whole, what would a fourth Stanley Cup mean for all of those parties involved?
Well, one thing for Malkin, and he said it himself, is that he would win the most cups out of any Russian. And that's something that he's aware of, is what his legacy is back in Russia. So I know for him personally, the number four specifically is very important. But you know, in terms of these other guys, Crosby has done everything there is. Mike Sullivan has done everything that there is to achieve. They've already won multiple Stanley Cups. They've already cemented, you know, Crosby especially, has already cemented his place as one of the best players in NHL history. So for me, I think that the title is just an extra kind of cherry on top. But you look at what makes Sidney Crosby great and the reason why he has all those scoring records and the reason why he has these cups. This guy is an insanely competitive human. And you ask insanely competitive humans who make it to the NHL and who are at the top of their game, and they'll tell you that. They've never been around somebody so competitive, so obsessed with winning. And so for him, I'm sure that no matter what the number is, every year Crosby comes in here, he's looking to add one more to it. So I think for all those reasons it's important. And maybe the biggest reason is there's probably a non-zero chance that this is the last ride, kind of the last dance for the big three with Crosby, Malkin, and Letang. And, you know, I don't know what will happen this offseason, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities to imagine one of them will be gone. So if they're going to do it together, this is as good of a chance as any, and it might be the very last chance, depending what kind of decision Ron Hextall and Brian Burke make this offseason.
Mike, I agree with you on the jerseys. And the question is, speaking of Malkin, is there any kind of concern? I guess, you know, we look for whatever we can find these days, that he's back at practice, he's played in a few games, and yet when they went to a scrimmage the other day, he was held out of that. Is there any reason for concern there?
Yeah, you know, I kind of imagine that was the thinking all along, because that day at practice, initially when I got there, Malkin was the first guy on the ice. He was working with skills coach Ty Hennis, and he was going through a lot of different kinds of drills, and Malkin could participate in the full practice. So the fact that he was out there for so long before the other guys makes me think that it wasn't a situation where they saw something in practice and they thought, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't do this. You know, I think that that was the plan all along with a guy who had missed, what was it, 7 weeks with a knee injury. He comes back. You probably don't put him through on any kind of unnecessary risk or unnecessary contact. You know, he's probably not 100%. I don't know how close he really is to that. So I think that was kind of the thinking there. But, you know, I'm curious to see how he's going to hold up in this first round because Malkin, I guess, was apparently concerned that he may have tweaked something in the final game of the regular season, didn't take a shift for like the last 8-plus minutes, and now there's that. So he's still kind of working through whatever it was, and we'll have to see how he looks, how close to 100%, and if he can continue to improve in that trajectory as the series continues.
Brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, Pittsburgh's leader in trenchless sewer repairs. Point of order on something you said before. Vladimir Putin has actually won 11 Stanley Cups. You just don't know that. He has. That's what he'll tell you. He's the Russian with the most. But anyhow, what do you say to Penguins fans? And I'm sure you get your mailbag, you get your emails or whatever. Are fans – we had this discussion to start the show today. Are they greedy if they expect another cup in the Sid and Gino era, Mike?
Yeah, you know, I don't think that they're greedy. No, because just like Sid, right? I was talking a minute ago about how they Sid is so competitive and all that. Like, just because you've enjoyed success in the past doesn't mean that they've hit their quota for like the 25 years. And you're like, oh, okay, well, until 2028, I can't complain when my team loses this, you know, in the playoffs. Like, as a sports fan, you're allowed to have high expectations for your team, and you're allowed to get emotional, and you're allowed to kind of be upset when they flame out of the playoffs. And I think especially, I think people are probably hungry just the same way the players are after the two recent disappointments. You know, Penguins fans waited around for 4 months last year, and all they got was 4 playoff games to watch. The year before that, they just got 4 playoff games, and that was it in the first round. So, yeah, they got to enjoy a whole bunch of really long and successful runs to the Stanley Cup. But I'm sure that they would love nothing more than to look at this deep roster that has a deep forward core, deep defense, and looks to be decent goaltending, and have some hope and expectations that maybe this could be a year that they add one more Stanley Cup.
Mike DeFabo, the Post-Gazette, covers the Pens. He's with us here on the Fan Morning Show. You mentioned the depth, Mike, and initially we all go to the forward lines and how with Carter in the mix, they've got 3 lines that can score. They've got a 4th line that can do a little bit of everything as well. I just look at the difference in depth on the blue line between now and when they lost to the Islanders 2 years ago. 2 years ago, the second pairing was Gudbranson and Pettersson. The third pairing was Jack Johnson and Justin Schultz. This year, you've got CeCe and Matheson. I think surprising most of us in being as consistent as they've both been. And Pettersson and Marino are your third pairing. That right there tells me that this series should turn out a whole lot different than 2019.
Yeah, Chris, I think you're spot on here. I think that this could be one of the biggest factors in terms of what could be different from 2019 to now. Because what the Islanders are going to do, they're going to do exactly what everyone expects. You know, they're going to clog the neutral zone. They're going to make it frustrating. They're kind of going to try to neutralize the speed. And then what they're going to do is they're going to try to dump the puck in, and they're going to target what they think to be the defenseman who is the least mobile and the worst at playing the puck. And so you mentioned a couple guys there, Jack Johnson, Erica Branson. Those were not mobile guys. Those were guys that were not the best decision makers with the puck on their stick. So now you go from guys like that who are big, heavy, slow, to mobile guys. You know, Mike Matheson is the exact opposite. If there was anything more different than what those guys were, it's Mike Matheson in terms of a guy who can skate a puck out of trouble, who can get back to a puck right away, who can, you know, do all those things. And then there you look at the Marino-Pettersson pair, and that's a solid pair that's now older in terms of Pettersson and better in terms of Marino than what it was previously. So there isn't necessarily a weak link on that defense that you think. You know, I'm kind of imagining like the Waterboy scene where he's like, all right, who's my guy? And he's looking down, and then he kicks the ball off the guy and it goes in the air, right? You know what I'm talking about? Dunlap, you get what I'm saying here. Like, there's not one of those guys on the
top. No, I don't. Run that past me again. One more time. I'm trying to envision this in my head. The what now?
Have you ever seen The Water Boy?
No, I don't watch movies, so this is a bad one. But continue.
In The Water Boy. Okay,
somebody
right?
gets it. Keep going, Mike. This is fascinating.
The kicker. Yeah, great reference here. Jokes are best when you have to explain them.
Certainly.
Everybody tonight, Friday night, watch The Water Boy. The kicker then. Later on, he's like, all right, who's my guy? And he's looking for the guy that looks a little squeamish and squirmy.
Oh, I got it now. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Liar.
And then he's like, there's my guy. And he kicks it, and it bounces off the guy. So that would be the Islanders there. Who's our guy? Who are we going to dump this puck into that's going to misplay it? And there's not really a guy the guy that I would be most concerned about would be Cody Ceci, because that was kind of the knock on him. But pairing him with a guy like Marino.
So what did you – did Cody Ceci kick for his college football team? What are you saying now?
see what you know what would have worked?
I would,
you know what would have worked better, Mike? Mike, next time, to put it in better terms for us, older guys who, like, played dodgeball in gym class, tell us about when we played dodgeball and you rolled the ball out there and everybody looked for the one guy who was trying to hide in the back corner of the gym and everybody fired the ball at him at the same time. There's your Cody Ceci analogy.
Okay, there we go. That's a better reference. Yeah, I'll try to – from now on, I'll try to keep my references, like, no newer than, like, 1995.
Perfect.
I know you get, like, at a certain point, you stop acquiring new knowledge, and you're just kind of there. So, all right, I'll do a better job from now on with that.
If you've had any Great Depression or Civil War ones, you can go with them next because it's Jim's turn. Go ahead, Jim.
Should Longstreet have gone around to the right? All right. I hate to ask a regular old hockey question, but you're talking about dumping the puck in, the Islanders dumping it in. But I don't see, from the Penguins' standpoint, since they are as fast as they are, I don't understand why, you know, you want to carry the puck in, you want to make a pretty play, you want to drop it, you want to, whatever. But it seems to me that they could have success dumping it in on the Islanders because they've got the faster skaters to go get it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be about making the right decision at the right time. When you have an opportunity to carry the puck in with speed and create an opportunity that way, then you have to do it. But if it's not there, you can't be turning the puck over at the lines. I mean, those are going to be critical decisions at both the blue lines for both teams, and especially a team like the Islanders. Being good in your neutral zone, making the right decisions in terms of entering the zone will be definitely a big key to this series.
All right, Mike, what else you got going on? What should we ask you that we didn't ask you that you were waiting to answer? What are you there with that you thought was going to get asked of you?
You know, the thing that I look at
Here we go.
Jeff Carter and what kind of a presence he'll have and what kind of a difference that'll make. And I think it's huge because, you know, previously the Penguins basically had a two-line team maybe with a fourth line that was unplayable. And now with Jeff Carter in the mix, what they have is a guy in Jeff Carter who has a 46-goal season on his resume. He's gotten Selke votes. So he's a very good, trustworthy, two-way kind of guy, and he's turned that Bluger-Tanev line into a true fourth line. And so when you have that recipe, which is, you know, here's a recipe for the Cup for the Penguins previously. You have the lethal 1-2 punch of the Crosby line, the Malkin line, and then, if that wasn't already a matchup nightmare, then you add that third scoring line. And that's what I think that you might have, and I think that the Jared McCann and Jeff Carter tandem, I think, will be as critical to the Penguins this postseason as any other tandem. As much as Crosby, Gensel, or as much as Kapanen and Malkin, you know, I think that having that extra third line and having that depth at scoring, I think, especially in the first round, where I can imagine a scenario where Malkin, you kind of have to get through that first round without him being a driving force behind it. So that even more so, I think, puts a little bit more onto Jeff Carter's plate to pick things up and be the kind of guy that we've seen who scored 9 goals in his first 14 games of the Penguins.
Nice. Great stuff. I'm going to go home, watch Waterboy. I'm going to figure that all out, and I'll text you a little bit later, Mike. Does that work?
I'm going to find some clips on YouTube and tweet them at you here in a second.
That works. All right. Perfect. Thank you much. Have a wonderful playoffs. We'll talk to you next week.
Tell my mom hello.
Yes, do
You're
that.
Our guy, Mike.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, Pittsburgh's leader in trenchless sewer repair. That's Mike DeFabo. All right. And did you get that? I think I might have seen Waterboy.
I've seen it, but
he's like set in Louisiana, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Is
he
like
Bobby Boucher? And Adam Sandler does a ridiculous voice the entire time, much
right.
like about 25% of his movies.
I believe
movies.
I saw Towers that was that. A long time ago, though, wasn't it?
No, all the announcers they had, like Carol was one of them, and they had, I don't know, there was a whole bunch of guys.
Yeah, that movie's probably like 15 years old.
Right.
Now.
It wasn't like it was last week. No. So it is what it is.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.